Look, Mum, I Can Fly. Brand new music from Livingston on Radio 3. For a Tuesday afternoon, 13 past 12. Glad to be back with you. Let's say hi to Morris Misilowski in Melbourne. How's it going, Morris?
Yeah, good, and I'm glad to be back with you too, Phil.
Yay. We were just having a casual chat this morning. Anything going on? There's some stuff about kitchen. Whoa, hold on a minute, Morris. Let's talk about gadgets in the kitchen, because what I kicked off with today was saying, you got it, AI is on the way.
AI is on the way to everything.
I'll tell you what, though, Morris, straight up, because kitchen gadgets, it's almost as good as doing new sort of phone gadgets. But I immediately, thinking AI in the kitchen, I've got a sort of vision of Mickey Mouse in the lab in The Sorcerer's Apprentice in Fantasia.
If it goes with wrong. The broomstick going round.
That's right, everything's going off and spilling. But no, go on.
Well, it could be. I mean, who knows? If it goes wrong, perhaps it could be. Some of the fantasies that we've had for a while in our kitchen are just beginning to be true. I think we've talked about it for a long time from when I was at CES and other times. These smart cupboards and smart fridges been promised, which is, you know, the smart cupboard is not keeping it closed when you're on a diet. The smart cupboard is inside of it. It's got enough smarts to know what's in it. So it knows there's a packet of Bickies. It knows that there's some noodles in there. It knows that there's some whatevers. And it keeps track of all of them as you take them out. Yeah. This is the holy grail. As you take them out, it knows how often you take them out. So I can't say, look, Phil uses this really often. Well, it does. It's very judgy. It says, you know, the spaghetti's almost on the way out. Maybe I should pop it on the shopping list. Or in America, where this thing, because it's got to be America, where this thing kind of exists, it's kind of cobbled together. Amazon has a really, really cute service, not available in Australia, I'm assuming not available in Hong Kong either, where the fridge or the cupboard or whatever it is, with your permission, is sending shopping lists to Amazon. They're not delivering it one by one, but they're amalgamating it. Say on a Wednesday, it puts a shopping list together for you automatically because you've taken things in and out of the fridge, in and out of the cupboard or wherever else. It sends it across to Amazon.
Yeah.
And with your permission, I mean, you have to give it permission. There's a special lock you have to buy. All kinds of things happen. It's not just strangers walking off the street. But assuming you're okay with all of that, knowing this is all happening, it's literally delivered into your home, popped into your fridge, or popped onto your shelf while you're away, while you're home, whatever you prefer, and then they walk out again. So that's the extreme vision.
Well, shopping online in the supermarkets became a thing, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, maybe less. So it's just an extension of that, really, isn't it?
Well, it is. Supermarket shopping, for most people, have only been around since the 60s, is when we had the first major supermarkets, and that really changed the face of retail altogether.
I suppose so.
Up until then, especially for us and Europe and America, we kind of shopped very locally. We shopped locally, we shopped for the day or the next day, which is not uncommon, you know, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden we saw supermarkets and we went crazy. We started shopping for a week in advance. We started buying things in packets, in boxes.
How 80s.
It really was. So this notion of a future kitchen talks about a whole lot of things. It talks about using artificial intelligence, of course, because everything has to be. It talks about using technology. But what it does, or what its premise is, I think, is really to make our lives in the kitchen, that euphemistic marketing advertising term, easier and more pleasant for those that don't enjoy cooking, don't want to cook. Yeah. A lot of these new devices will do most of the heavy lifting for you. You can already buy high-end appliances. They're very high-end, very expensive, which means wait 5 years or so and they'll come down and be quite ordinary for everybody, where you just pop in, say, a rack of lamb or a chicken or some vegetables or whatever's going into the oven, the lasagna, whatever it is, it'll actually identify what's gone into the oven. It'll know it. And from that, it'll pick the perfect temperature, perfect cooking time, all the rest of it, and keep an eye on it, and it will cook it automatically for you and even send you a message to your app telling you it's ready.
You know what this almost sounds like, Morris? I mean, I mentioned the 80s. The 80s was the advent of the domestic microwave, and it was the time of all, you know, massive bags of shopping from the various supermarkets. I think now, though, with, you know, lots of people like to eat more healthy, lots of people like to be vegan or are vegan and all sorts of things, and that all leads us towards they like the market. They like the place where they can buy a bag full of this and that. So I'm wondering if this is brilliant, but if it's too late.
I don't think it's too late. I think it's horses for courses and kind of taking a middle road, because this isn't a kitchen that you set up necessarily which says we only work this way.
Yeah, yeah.
What it does is it's kind of, if you know, the analogy of cars, it kind of has a manual and kind of has an automatic, and you can drive it in whatever way you want. For those that enjoy convenience food, that really don't enjoy cooking very much, and just want something quick and simple, perhaps midweek all you want to do is just put something on the table because you're so tired, and over the weekend you might get more exotic and elaborate, you can do both of those. The kitchen will actually know what's in store, literally. It might make suggestions for menus, or you might tell it what you want. It might give you some options of how to assemble them. You can get mixers, table mixers, that will, you know, mix the doughs and put in whatever, you'll put them in, but it will measure them and put temperatures and do all of that.
People are freaking out listening really to you now, some people, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure. I saw some really interesting kit, which I've seen for a few times I've been to CES, which is Consumer Electronics Show, that thing that happens in January,
yeah.
where they show all the new gadgets for the year. I've seen bench tops, literal bench tops, that weigh. So if you put something down on it, it will know the exact weight cup of flour you've put down, yeah. or it'll know how many millimetres is in something. Even though lots of things are on the bench, it'll know distinctively, because you've put it down or picked it up, how much that thing weighs. And again, that's something that lots of cooks use to be able to measure things and put them in. You have a lot of the bowls, or a number of bowls, I should say a lot, but there are a number of bowls that you can get that are smart that will do the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. So there's some of the toys that are around that we can do. One of my – there's some really fantastic because they're so quirky. I'm not quite sure why you would want them, but fantastic.
Gadgets,
there's a trash – yeah, gadgets. There's what's called – because everything has to be start either with an E or a smart or an I – this is called smart. It's an American one, which is quite why it's called a smart trash can.
Oh yeah,
and what it does is the exact opposite of what I've just said. It doesn't wait for you to take things out of the cupboard, out of the fridge. When you throw it into the rubbish tin, into the trash can, it knows what's in it, and it also knows whether it's something that's in it often. In other words, you just ran out of milk, it's the third, you know, whatever bottle you've had this week. And again, it puts it on the shopping list. Quirky, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's dial it down a tiny bit and think perhaps something like this would be useful for people who need some kind of assistance, or perhaps in some kind of home for the elderly or something like that. Maybe. Not quite as crazy as that.
Well, yeah, I absolutely agree. There are practical purposes for this, and one is certainly around disability. One is certainly around people that don't enjoy cooking. One is certainly around, you know, people that are perhaps younger and shouldn't be working with fire and the rest of it, whatever it is we're trying to do. I think all those things are absolutely right. Mm. What this thing does is it really just gives you the option of having this around if you want. But I think it's quirky. For me, I take it a step further, as always, more than one step further. I've talked about this for quite a while, not that much these gadgets, but knowing that our kitchens really will come alive and be active and be able to be participants. It'll tell you where things are. It'll say there are three things in the fridge, and these things combine really well into, you know, into perhaps a salad that you like, or into a dal or something else. But what it does is it goes further, because that kitchen then becomes something that you can change. This is where it gets really strange, but I think it's the way that many kitchens will work, and especially for small areas, for small homes like we have in New York or in parts of Asia. What you can do is you no longer need a dedicated gas stove. You no longer need a dedicated space anymore, taking up that space 24/7, because your gas stove can be something portable. Your fridge can actually be a number of different items that switch in. I know this sounds strange.
No.
And the thing I saw at the last CES was a top, again, a bench top that you can actually cook on. So you put the pot straight on it. There are no burners in front of you. There's nothing else. You literally put it straight on it. Obviously, there's a designated area to do that. And the knobs are down by the side, so they're away from everything.
So, I mean, meaning it is, that, come on. Yeah, it is.
No, it means you can have a complete desktop, you know, a complete kitchen top ready to use, do whatever you want. And when you want to cook, just put a pot on it, turn it on at the side or wherever the knob is, and there you've got a bench space being used for cooking on.
If we were to take a period of time, say from the 1930s to the 80s, in a house, would you say that the upward curve of development in the kitchen outweighed other rooms in the house in terms of technology?
The answer is yes, but I'd have to take it into the 70s and 80s
okay, cool.
to do that.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that again, this is very Australia-centric, but I assume it may be true of elsewhere in the world too. Australia-centric is that it was predominantly, this is a horrible gender-biased conversation now,
right,
until we get to about the 70s, is that the kitchen was pretty much the domain of the female.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way the homes were built. Didn't mean it was right or wrong, but this is the way the homes were traditionally built. So the kitchen was somewhere where the female spent time cooking meals for her family. Now, the home was never built by a female. I'm not talking about physically. It was never designed by a female. It was always designed by males. So the kitchen was invariably a horrible room that was built for somebody that they really didn't understand very well, and somebody did something in it that they particularly didn't understand. So kitchens were terribly designed and were up until the 70s. Now, we began to change that when females began to work. This is very, very long history. When females began to work, when we began to share things in the home, so we began to share chores, when men decided that cooking was something they could do at home, all of a sudden the kitchen came alive and the room began to be designed differently, the appliances that went in them were different. Everything changed dramatically as more and more males, and that's why I say it's a very gender-biased conversation. Pretty much the trajectory of making these kitchens something that was the centre of the home.
Yeah.
Because before then, kids and men did not want to know about the kitchen, just what came out of them. All of a sudden, kitchens are central. All of a sudden, appliances are central. And these sorts of things began to become important.
The reason I ask you about the upward curve of development in the kitchen is because, you imagine, I think it was just before the First World War, the first electric refrigerator came along. That was a paradigm. So that's what I'm on about, yeah.
Yeah, and before then, and I don't remember this, even though my kids will think I do, but there was the Iceman who used to come.
Exactly.
And the Iceman used to deliver out the back of the house and used to deliver perhaps into what we would now call a fridge, which was really just a very, very big esky, as they call them in Australia. The ice went on top and that kept it cold for a number of days or even a week.
You imagine, though, switch it on, click. That was game on, wasn't it?
It was incredible, absolutely incredible, as were the first gas stoves, the true gas stoves that came in. They were quite extraordinary. They were a feat to behold because before then we were using very, very different appliances and they were not as swanky or as modern as those new gas ones were. Mm. The Australian icon for that is the Kookaburra gas stove. If you have any expatriates listening, the Kookaburra gas stove was the thing that was put into homes in the 40s and 50s to show really modern kitchens. Quite extraordinary. It was usually green in colour.
Mm-hmm.
It was enamel. It had a little gas stove like a box on the side with a door that opened, couldn't see in it, and had a burner off to the right-hand side where the burners were, four burners. That was always the show of a really advanced home in the 40s and 50s.
So, looking forward, is there anything that you can think off the top of your head, because you're brilliant, that isn't smart this and smart that and says you've drunk too much beer, something that is really useful? Don't forget all the smart stuff costs.
Humans, truly humans. You know, the thing that I'm loving at the moment, and I'm tracking for a number of reasons of the future of cooking and food and those kinds of things for a number of clients and conversations I'm having.
Sure.
The thing that I love and that I've always known but now I'm seeing more and more of, the most wise, wonderful thing people want in their kitchens are their grandmothers.
You know where this is going to go, don't you?
Yeah, there are so many conversations now and so many chefs and so many cookbooks and so many new shows around cooking that are all pushing back into nonnas and grandmas and whatever vintage, whatever version, from wherever in the ethnicity they came. To answer your question, that really seems to be where we're pushing back to, really trying to understand how they made food taste so good without all these fancy appliances.
Exactly. I mean, it's so interesting. You were talking to me just now about it knows exactly the nuance, exactly. And she just went, yada, 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 brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, my mum was absolutely one of those. You could watch her and it was like an orchestra, but you had no idea what the notes were because she never measured or did anything. It was just a matter of throwing it in and putting it in and it just came together at the end of it.
Mm. So, Mike, the key to the future of the kitchen be actually the equipment that's used to cook things on? I mean, different energy sources, microwave was a leap forward. Well, I mean, it had been around for ages, but all of a sudden people are doing pies with it in the 80s.
Yeah, the microwave was really an invention of the 60s. It was invented for the space industry became mainstream. Actually, it was around a little before then, but the space industry is what kicked it in to lots of people knowing it. The reason for me with all these techs and things around is the same conversations I have with everybody, and that is that I think the tech is going to be so obvious it's going to disappear. And I know that's tautology, meaning that it'll just be around us and we'll be allowed to cook now again in ways that made sense before, kind of like an augmented nonna or grandmother. it'll have all the things around us that we just don't have, or many of us don't have the smarts of, referring back to our grandparents who did. It'll help us to do that and then lift us to be able to cook in ways that we might not otherwise be able to.
Well, last week, Maurice, we were talking about apprentices and the human interaction with AI in the future. I mean, you know, I think you could be forgiven for talking about it like some sci-fi robotic thing when we're talking about kitchens, but really AI is it's there, it's not going away. So we still have to figure in humans because it can't do the job for us.
It's one element. We can all be seeing now robotic chefs, and they are around, and I've seen some of them, and they're very interesting. But I'm not imagining a Jetsons world, going back to our 60s reference, the Jetsons world, where Betty was in the kitchen, Betty the robot was in the kitchen, and everything came out from all these robotic devices. I'm not seeing that. I'm hoping that really AI, like most things in the future, will be a tool that we use. Instead of going to the cookbook that we once had, we might refer to that same assistance in different ways. Mm. Our appliances will be easy enough for us not to struggle with, and for many people to feel that they're comfortable in using them, and therefore will experiment more and cook more. I think that's the way to go, because we're definitely seeing a pushback at the moment of people going back home and cooking more. Part of that's economic, part of it's social, but we're definitely seeing an increase now in people cooking at home again.
Do you think we're up against expectations here? Again, you know, over the years when people thought of an invention, it was something huge. I mean, Charlie Chaplin, Modern Times, with all the gizmos and his corn-eating machine and everything. And is it possible that what we're talking about here are subtle changes? They're not massive ones, really.
I hope so. I really do think that they are, and that's how we should see them, as subtle changes. For those that want to cook in a particular way, there are now additional tools. Now, it's not a step too far, because the oven of today, the dishwasher of today, there are lots of appliances we've welcomed into our kitchen over the years, and we've kind of survived really, really well with them and still managed to cook really great traditional foods. I think, and I'm hoping it's the same, I don't see a time when we're going to Soylent Green, forgetting about foods, drinking this thing, which is where lots of people think about in the future. You know, food will be not important because our body will get it from somewhere else. That's not a world where humans will live in or want to live in. Yeah. These are appliances that will just make our lives, hopefully, a bit easier and a bit more comfortable for those that want that word, and allow us to do things or stretch our abilities in ways we might not otherwise have been able to.
Fair play, Maurice. 10 seconds, the one thing you're hoping to see development in your kitchen.
I kind of want to do away with that gas top type thing. I want to be able to move the kitchen around, the benches and the other things as I want, and not to have any fixed needs for appliances built in. And we can do that already. It's very expensive.
Yeah, that's the point. Ka-ching. I'll see you next week. Maurice Misiolowski, live as always from St Kilda in Melbourne. MauriceFuturist.com if you want to see what he's been writing about. Let's us have a look at the weather forecast. Mainly cloudy, sunny intervals this afternoon, moderate east northeasterlies. It will be mainly fine and dry in the next couple of days. 27 Celsius now and 65% humidity.